Jerry Bader Show 1019. I mentioned before the break there's a piece, and it's getting a lot of national attention. Rush Limbaugh talked about it yesterday. Alec McGillis writing at New Republic, the unelectable whiteness of Scott Walker, a journey through the poisonous, racially divided world that produced a Republican star. I have read this entire piece. It is 17 pages printed out. Here is the case that it essentially tries to make. That Scott Walker is in no way a unifying presence, that when you look at the four-county area of the metro Milwaukee area, Washington County, Ozaukee County, Waukesha County, and Milwaukee County, you have Milwaukee, which is now a minority-majority city, black and Hispanic, votes overwhelmingly Democratic, and Ozaukee, Washington, and Waukesha counties, of course, vote overwhelmingly Republican, and they are lily white. Essentially, the argument is this is how Scott Walker got elected and survived the recall. It's utter nonsense. There are several things going on here. One, now this piece does rightly point out that Wisconsin saw an Milwaukee saw an African-American influx much later than other large northern major cities. And that's a factor here as well. Whatever polarity existed before Scott Walker. This piece goes into great lengths talking about two Milwaukee conservative talk show hosts as if though somehow they are responsible for Scott Walker getting elected. What really is going on here is myopia. What you have is another writer who believes that Scott Walker is electable and is trying to convince people they're not. This is his greatest fear. He is the liberals' greatest fear in this regard. That he absolutely stood up to the status quo, fought it, and was successful, and then lived to tell about it. It's the live to tell about a part that scares the hell out of them. Just terrifies them. How did he win the damn recall? That he is electable is what's scaring them. That he stood up to those forces and was unblinking, unflinching, is what scares them. So immediately, he's just a white guy that blacks would never vote for. The reality is, that's the way Wisconsin is right now. And that's the way Milwaukee is right now. Go ahead, keep voting for Tom Barrett, as it sends your city to hell. But the other myopia here is that Milwaukee is Wisconsin. And if you're not in Wisconsin, you get that perception. Outstate Wisconsin is critical to any governor's race. Are you going to say the whole state is racist? Milwaukee doesn't elect any governor. In fact, here's something that's entirely lost. Both times, 2010 and 2012, he was facing the mayor of Milwaukee. It was largely perceived as a Milwaukee governor's race because he was the Milwaukee County Executive. Tom Barrett was Milwaukee mayor. It was seen as being entirely Milwaukee-centric. So what was the difference then? That the candidate that could carry outstate. This is just a massive hit job trying to paint Scott Walker as racist and label him unelectable. Ron Radish, writing at Pajama Media, points out What really irks the New Republic is not anything McGillis brings up in the article, but Walker's many accomplishments. The most important one, as they well know, was the way he successfully took on the teachers' union and public sector unions, whose tie-ins with Democrats assured them the kind of benefits private sector workers do not have, and which worked to break the budget of the state government. By taking away their right to bargain over fringe benefits, Walker took away the incentive for many teachers and public workers to stay in the union, and the ranks of those who belonged began to drop tremendously. Taxes were lowered, the state's budget was brought into balance, and other conservative reforms were implemented. As Mark Tyson wrote, Walker has long found a way to appeal to the center while governing as a conservative, and he actually received in his election as governor the votes of a large number of voters who also voted for Barack Obama. That's something Scott Walker talks about all the time, the Walker-Obama voter. How did he get them? How did he get them? What does any of this have to do with Scott Walker? Okay, this kind of success puts a scare into TNR's left-leaning editors. So what does McGillis actually write that supposedly damns Walker? A good part of his story is an intelligent portrayal of demographic changes that took place long before Walker was in politics. Simply put, whites left the city of Milwaukee for the suburbs, and African Americans moved in. The result was a split city. From the 60s to the 90s, the black population shot up tremendously to 30% of the population. That figure increased to 40% by 2014. This coincided, McGillis notes, with the collapse of the industrial base and the disappearance of manufacturing jobs they once had, so that today it has the second highest black poverty rate in the U.S. What does any of this have to do with Scott Walker, who became governor after all of this occurred? Nothing at all. Moreover, the kind of educational reforms Walker supports are precisely the kinds of things that would help the black underclass receive a better education and gain a chance for their children to work their way out of poverty of their parents' generation. McGillis cannot come up with anything racist at all that Walker said which might feed white hostility toward African Americans. Since he cannot, his answer is guilt by association. And then, as I said, he goes into giving oversized influence to two talk shows. Now, conservative talk radio does, I talked about this with Eric Cantor, it can have an impact. I think that's true. But the way in which McGillis suggests it is just nonsense. Now, after the news, I do want to take up something. I want to just start it here a little bit. I want to take up something that I have mentioned before, and I want to take it up again. Yesterday, in Wright, Wisconsin, Colin Roth and his Roth Report asked this question. Can Scott Walker walk the tightrope? When Governor Walker said last week that his own personal views on same-sex marriage don't really matter, it was an astounding moment of candor. Yes, Walker encouraged Attorney General Van Hollen to defend Wisconsin's constitutional amendment, but the tepid response was akin to a white flag on the issue. For someone with 2016 aspirations, the issue of same-sex marriage is certainly tricky. Social conservatives and those who believe in traditional marriage are and will continue to be an important part of the Republican coalition. But opinions on the issue of same-sex marriage have moved so fast in America that it is hard to project with certainty where the public pulse on the issue could be in 2016. Few doubt that Scott Walker has a backbone, but every politician at the end of the day is something of a weather vane. Walker may be trying to calculate the direction of the wind to get it just right. Mary Burke took him on this yesterday. This isn't going to go away the way he just simply thinks, well, look, what I think about gay marriage doesn't matter anymore. I think it could be a huge mistake for the 2014 campaign, which I will take up in just a moment. Actually, about 5 moments. It's 10:29. Well, I did something stupid yesterday. So I decided to run outside. I have a place where I can shower. It was sunny in 85. I did not have a light-colored T-shirt. And I ran 2 miles and that stuff anyway in my dark t-shirt. I ran into this guy who's running much faster than me. What are you, nuts, dude? Well, I didn't have another one, and I'm not going without a shirt. But it's an unusual problem for me to have ever since my success on Proactive Weight Loss Solutions. I run 3 miles a day on Monday and Friday, 2 miles on Wednesday, and do resistive exercise on Tuesday and Thursday because I'm to the point where I'm going to keep this off. And I'm eating much healthier. I know a lot of you have questions about that. Now, you don't have to. It's up to you how much exercise you're going to do. But it is a lifestyle change, and you have to learn that the way you were living before in terms of eating doesn't work either. And yes, Dr. Litwin is there to help you with all of that. When you get to that stage, my wife is still losing weight, and he's helping her along. What if you just decide, you know, I want to do this. I hear Jerry talking about it. Stop waiting. Call Dr. Litwin today, 920-268-1386. Call Dr. Jason Litwin, 920-268-1386.
Follow Jerry on Twitter. Go to jerrybatershow.com.